The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they are going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out to see? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He'll prepare your way before you. And many say to you, Among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. What I'd like to do today is just give you a short, brief idea on first reading Psalm, second reading and Gospel, and a little bit about Our Lady of Guadalupe that the parish is celebrating today. Okay, the first reading, we have a reading from the Shakespeare of the Bible. And that, of course, is Isaiah. Very, very beautiful writings. And one idea, he's speaking about a desert that is blossoming. And that's what happened with respect to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Flowers blossomed in the desert. Okay, a mystical interpretation of the blossoming of the flowers, the beautiful flowers in the desert, is when we were baptized. That's true. Yesterday I baptized. When a baby comes in, without baptism, his soul is a desert. If you like English literature, T.S. Eliot, The Wasteland, okay? T.S. Eliot, The Wasteland, which would be another name for the desert. Once the child is baptized, you have the most beautiful flowers. Original sin is wiped away. Faith, hope, charity, moral virtues, justice, prudence, temperance, fortitude, gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord, all of those blossom and start to flourish in the moment of baptism. Amen? That's a short mystical spiritual interpretation of Isaiah. Okay? Applying that desert flourishing and blossoming to our soul. Our soul is the desert. It has to be a garden through the watering of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The psalm. Sarah sung with us. Beautiful song. And the refrain was, I'm going to take one word. Save. In 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating the purpose of the coming of Christ. Savior. By now you know one of my favorite writers is Fulton Sheen. In all the titles of Jesus Christ, what is the most important? Of the many titles, the most important title of Jesus Christ is Savior. That's the raison d'être, as they say in French. La raison d'être. The reason for being of Christ. His incarnation, he came to save us. So I'm going to teach you a new prayer today. Lord, save me. Can you say that?
Lord, save me.
How about again?
Lord, save me.
Once again.
Lord, save me.
I pray that prayer very, very often. Let me give you a graphic image. Do you remember when Peter was walking on the water? Remember that passage? What did he do? Ah! Ah! What did he say? Did our Lord save him? Stretched out his hand and he saved him. So we start to sink in our spiritual life, powerful prayer. Powerful prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. So that's going to be a new prayer you're going to be saying today until you get to heaven. Okay, the second reading is from Mr. Practical. It seemed to be a New Yorker. St. James, okay? The letter of St. James. And let me glean two ideas. About five times, what did you hear in that? Be patient, be patient, be patient, be patient, be patient. We have to pray for patience. But specifically in three areas. Pray for patience with ourselves, patient with others, and patient with God. Three areas. Patient with ourselves, patient with others, and patient with God. Okay, let's take those three areas. Okay, patient with ourselves. My founder has this two-word expression, nunc cepi. And nunc cepi means, now I begin. Now all of us are sinners except Mary and Jesus. The Immaculate Conception and Jesus, that's the only two who are not sinners in this human race. Saint Therese said if she fell 100 times, she would just throw herself into the merciful arms of the Savior. So if you fall, don't become discouraged. One of the worst things in the world, the worst thing in the world after sin is becoming discouraged. And we all do, right? We all become discouraged. We have to overcome that. We fall, we get up. Why did Jesus come to save us? To save us from our falls. Second is we have to be patient with others. Okay, you live in a family. There's probably someone in the family that drives you bananas. Drives you up the wall. Okay, that person that's driving you nutty, okay, be patient with that person. Maybe he's a teenager. Okay? We deal with teenagers, and that's why we as priests were starting to lose our hair. Okay. Or it's becoming gray or white. Huh? Well, be patient. Be patient. And the third is we have to be patient with God. We do. A lot of us believe in the infallible novena. Okay, we have to make the novena to St. Jude. Jude, cough it up. Let's go now. God is not a genie. You know, rub the bottle and genie comes out. God is not Santa Claus coming down the chimney, give me the gifts. God is not a glorified bellhop. Okay, you know what a bellhop is? There we go, those rich Sheraton Marriott hotels, you got a bellhop that. God isn't a glorified bellhop. God's clock is not our clock. And we want to try, as I said, to put God into the limited confines of our time schema. Doesn't work that way. St. Monica prayed for 31 years. 31 years! And finally Augustine was converted. So we have to be patient. And also St. James says, Do not complain. No complaining. Okay, what would be the opposite of complaining? Thanksgiving. Learn to thank God. Maybe in college you studied the Rhineland mystics of Thomas Kempis, Julian of Norwich, Walter Hilton, the Cloud of Annone. And also, there's a famous writer, his name is Meister Eckhart. Okay? And Meister Eckhart said this, if the only prayer we ever said in our lives were thanksgiving, that would be enough. Shakespeare says, more painful than a serpent's tooth are that of an ungrateful child. In St. Ignatius, you've all heard of him, I hope you have, he says, the essence of sin is ingratitude. That's true. The essence of sin is ingratitude. And the word Eucharist means what? You know it. So we're celebrating Thanksgiving right now. So that's an idea, or a couple ideas from James. Okay, now, the gospel. Always the center of the gospel is Jesus Christ. But the past 2 weeks, we've encountered the cousin of Jesus Christ, who is? John Bosco? Okay, John the Baptist, I didn't hear right. Okay, John the Baptist, okay? Okay, one idea on him. Like John the Baptist, we have to have clarity and conviction. Those two things. Clarity. Clarity of purpose as to the end of our life. And conviction. And the willingness to, as they say in Spanish, llamar pan pan e vino vino. Okay? As we say in English, call a spade a spade. Okay? In other words, in a world where there are so many errors, okay, why was John the Baptist in prison? Because he had clarity and conviction. He's in jail because he denounced the adulterous, incestuous relationship of King Herod, and nobody else had the courage to confront him. Nobody else had the courage to convict him because they knew what Herod would do. Well, John the Baptist has clarity of purpose to glorify Christ, and conviction to carry out the truth that was within him. And John the Baptist is going to die. Why? To defend marriage. To defend the indissoluble character of marriage. So in these areas, all of you have to be able to speak out in the world and to your friends on these topics. Are you listening? Abortion. Abortion is wrong. Murdering an innocent baby. Same-sex unions. Marriage is between a man and a woman, not between two men and two women. That's wrong. We have to have the courage. The courage, conviction, and clarity to be able to speak out and to defend these topics. Third, it's already legalized in California, euthanasia. Euthanasia doesn't mean a young Asian person, okay? Okay. Filipino, Korean, or Vietnamese, okay? Or Chinese, no? You have to kind of clarify our English here, right? Euthanasia means killing the old, the elderly, the infirm. Wrong. So we have to have clarity and conviction with our friends, our companions, that are so many are so confused. We have to be like John the Baptist. Clarity, conviction. As well as embryonic experimentation, which is killing many babies, and two other areas. Liberalism, especially within the Catholic Church, we have Catholics that are basically jettisoned. They're thrown out. Obedience to the Pope. The acid test to a good Catholic is if you're going to be faithful to the teachings of the Pope and the Magisterium. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, to speak out against atheism. Some of you have seen the movie God Is Not Dead number one. Have you? God Is Not Dead number two. Well, the basic thrust of those two movies is for your teenagers. They're going to be going to college. If they go to a public secular college, most likely the professors are going to be laughing at the church, laughing at Catholicism, degrading the papacy, speaking out against the priesthood, speaking out against celibacy, speaking out against traditional marriages. We, like John the Baptist, have to stick up to the truth. So today, in which we honor Our Lady of Guadalupe, our loving mother, let's pray to our loving mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, that like Juan Diego, that we will be messengers that have clarity like John the Baptist, that we will know the truth, love the truth, and be willing to die for the truth. Amen.